There's no cup holder. Okay. There it is. How's everybody? My name is Ron. Those of you who don't know me, I'm off a little bit, but I'm really harmless. And thank you, Brother Jim, for asking me to share today. Some weeks ago, the Lord began to talk to me about this word today, and I've been kind of kicking this around now for some time, and so I'm hoping that when it goes out, it's just halfway as good as it was when it came to me. I hope I can communicate that. And Jan and I have been working with her mother on the weekends, and so I don't get to come to church because we were in Birmingham taking care of Meemaw, and that's always interesting. And so I get to go to the park and walk the dog, where I have a better signal with my phone, Sprint. Got to get changed this year to Verizon, and so not a plug, but I've watched the church service here on Sunday morning, the worship, and I get to hit the little button like every once in a while when Jim bears down on something that tickles my spirit, and so sometimes the worship, I get to hit like, then I go to walk the dog some more because she's barking at something, and so I get to do multitasking in the park on Sunday morning at church, but not at church, so it's still good. But I still pray for whoever's speaking that day, and so that's good. A number of years ago, Jan and I went to California to a pastor's conference. This is June, July 13. And we went there particularly to hear one guy speak. I've been following on the internet, stalking Robbie Dawkins. And so I wanted to meet him. I'd met him once and twice, and I wanted to had a meal with him once, and so I want to go hang with Robbie. So I asked the Lord to provide, and it cost a lot of money to go to California for 10 days and 8 days or whatever, and then airfare, hotel, and all that. So, but the Lord provided. It was like a miracle, and so I went. And so we went there, the afternoon Robbie was going to speak, he gave his time over to a guy, a crazy-looking man named Todd White, and Todd's got some really long dreads and wore some funny clothes, and he got up to speak, and I'm thinking, what is this guy going to say to a bunch of Vineyard pastors and leaders? And just a minute, I knew he had something to say. He had been in touch with God in some way, and I said, I got to follow this guy a minute. So at the end of the deal, of course, he had spoke a long time, seemed like about 10 minutes. And so he wanted to bless everyone or pray, lay hands on, impart to anyone who wanted to receive an impartation. I still don't have dreads, but I got something while I was there, and it's really a good thing, I think. And so the line got really long. It was like, I didn't know, I'm not big on all the get in the healing line and all that. I just happens whenever it happens. But I just felt like I'd had to get in that line. And we were up in like the nosebleeds and the third tier of the auditorium there in Anaheim. And so I stood in line, and Jan said, you want to go and get some crackers or something? I said, no, I paid $3,000 to come here. I'm going to get here. I'm going to stay right here. I'm not leaving. I don't care what time it is. I'm hungry, but I'm more hungry for that than I am food and crackers. The Nikos can wait another minute. And so I stayed in line. And when he got to me, Todd says, I saw you up there, and I saw the light of the Lord shining on you. That was just so good. It was like a highlight. And he said, pray for me, and nothing happened. Not a thing. I didn't get a goosebump. I didn't cry. Nothing happened. I walked away. But I knew that I had been in the presence of someone who knew something about God and had been in touch with God. A couple of weeks later, I watched a video, got a hold of it online, and and watched him. He was doing a testimony, and it was actually a testimony. It was like somebody was walking around videoing him, crazy stuff that he does. He's like off the chain ministry. And so the Lord told him to go to Jerusalem. Some of you may have seen this video. You need to find it if you hadn't seen it. The Lord tells him to go to Israel and go to Jerusalem. So he gets his airfare together and he goes to Jerusalem and says, "Now, like what, Lord?" And so he gets there and he starts praying for people. And he sees this guy with a yellow shirt on. And when he sees the guy with the yellow shirt on, the guy's walking kind of funny, like a limp. And so Todd prays for him. Nothing happens. He prays for him again. Nothing happens. The guy says, "Well, I'm Muslim. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in their Jesus." He said, "Let me pray one more time." He prayed one more time. The Lord healed him. The guy's walking straight. So he said, "I still don't believe in Jesus." He said, "Okay, no problem. Have a good day." You know. So he goes on. He gets into the city and he starts praying for these other people. And he prays for the lady with stage 4 cancer, and the Lord heals her. He prays for some other people, and God heals them. And then he goes on, he says, "I've got to get," the Lord told Todd, he said, "I want you to go to the Holy of Holies, and I want you to go to the Dome of the Rock. I'm sending you to the Dome of the Rock." And that's all controlled by Muslims now. And so he says, "I've got to get to the Dome of the Rock." And so he goes, I'm trying to lift out a bunch of stuff, but I'm telling you just what you need to know. And so he goes to this place and he says, I got to get to the Dome of the Rock. I've got to get inside." And so the guy said, "That's all controlled by Muslims. You're never going to get in there. But I know one man that might let you get in there." Guess what? It was the guy with the yellow shirt. God is so cool, the way he sets things up. And he says, "Sure, come on. I'll get you in there." He goes in there, and he goes down into the place, what would be the Holy of Holies, into the basement of the Dome of the Rock, the place where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. He goes down in there, and Todd, they wouldn't let the cameras down there, but Todd's praying. The only Christian that's been allowed to get in there, he's in there praying. He's praying in English, and he's praying in the Spirit. And the Lord is visiting him while he's in the place where he's at, and then he has to leave. He only had a few minutes, but the Lord did something. And what started that whole message today is the place of the Ark of the Covenant. And I'm going to talk a few minutes about the Ark of the Covenant. I keep going back in my mind and remembering this story of how that Todd got into the place called the Holy of Holies, or the downstairs basement of the Dome of the Rock, or the secret place. He gets the chance to go there. Only Christian probably in our lifetime that's been there. And so he goes in there and he does that. And I begin to think about the Ark of the Covenant. And I studied some on it, and studying on it, I want to turn to find it real quick. Ezekiel chapter 37. Let me find all my stuff I need. I'm just going to read a couple of verses of scripture there. I'm sorry, Exodus. I should have put an X there instead of a Z. Anyway. Let me fix that. All right. I'll quit saying that. Exodus chapter 37. And here is the instructions that the Lord gives Moses about that. Let me see if I can just kind of give you a highlight. He tells him, he says, and he cast 4 rings. Let me go back. He makes an ark of a shittim wood, that's acacia wood that we would know, 2 cubits, about 51 inches by 31 by 31 ark, a box. And he says, "I want you to overlay it with pure gold within and without, and make a crown of gold to set around about it." And he cast the 4 rings in the gold, and they'd be on the 4 corners. I wish I had a picture to give you. And then the 2 rings on one side and 2 on the other. And he made staves, or sticks, of shittim wood, and overlaid them with gold. And he put the staves, or the sticks, into the rings so they could bear the Ark of the Covenant from one place to another. And he says, He made a mercy seat, pure gold, 2 cubits, one so the length and width of it. And he made 2 cherubims of gold, beaten out of 1 piece, and he made them. And the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And 1 cherubim on this end and 1 on the other side. And there's a space between them. And that's actually where the Lord rested. His presence rested in that area. And the reason I want to talk about that is there's a comparison between the Ark of the Covenant and you and I. There's a great comparison between the two of us. The Ark of the Covenant had 3 things the Lord told him to put inside that. One, put the tablets that God carved out with his finger in stone. Laser printers ain't got nothing. Laser carvers ain't got nothing on God's finger. He carved out the commandments he put in the covenant. He put it on stone and he put it. And those were things, 2 items put in the ark. Another thing that was put in the ark was Aaron's rod. And I'm going to talk about Aaron's rod just a minute because it actually relates to you and I. And then I'm going to tell you about a golden cup. It's like a vase. It's golden and they've taken manna and put in, it's like a, almost, I thought about like a ball jar that's got the little seal tight on it. You boil it and you get it hot and then you cool it off. When it does, the lid pops. Nobody ever canned anything here besides me. Anyway, okay. But it's kind of like that. And you put manna in there and you put it inside the ark. There's 3 things inside the ark. The tablets, the covenant, the word of God. The second thing, he's got the rod, and the rod is a stick. In Aaron's day, one time he runs into a bunch of false prophets. I call them the New Age group. He runs into a bunch of New Age prophets, and they all had their staff. And everybody had a rod. You had your rod. It was like what you kept the snakes away, and you used it for a protection. It was a good thing. In Aaron's day, a rod was a symbol of authority that was given to Aaron. And he's standing there meeting with all the prophets, and he threw down his rod, and it turned into a snake. And the other prophets threw their stick down, and when they did, Aaron's stick ate their stick, gobbled up the other snakes. Theirs turned to a snake. And when theirs turned to, they're like, okay, God won up those guys who had their stick that turned into a snake. Aaron's rod devoured the other snakes and the other rods on the floor there. God used his power, and his power was in that rod. And then on the third thing that's in that the Ark of the Covenant is the mason jar. Okay, but it was a golden jar. It wasn't mason. It was a golden jar, and the golden jar had manna in it. Now, why would God have manna put inside the Ark of the Covenant? It's a reminder to all the people from that day to the days on, even to now. That's a reminder to them of God's provision, how that God provided for them when they were in the desert. God's all the way through the Old Testament and even into the New Testament. He's always given us little tidbits or reminders of things that have how he does, the way he carries himself, the way he handles things. And so here we are, and this is what's in the ark. Okay, let me see where I'm at now. I just left out something. And after he all got all that built and all put together, at a certain time of the year, the high priest was to go into this place called the Holy of Holies, or the holy place. He's supposed to go there, and the scripture says, Bible history says, that the high priest had bells on his garment, around the bottom of his garment, and he had a rope that was tied to his foot that went outside the tent. And if the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies, which is no sin can go into the Holy of Holies. And so he says, if the high priest has sin in his life, then he would, if all of a sudden the bells stop ringing, if the bells are ringing, he's moving. If the bells stop ringing, he's dead. So the rope is so you don't have to go into that Holy of Holies to drag out the dead high priest. You can just pull and just drag him out. He's out of there. And the scripture talks about errors or sins. He was there. He was to go in there that day to ask forgiveness for the sins of all the people of that year. It's about one time a year he went in. And what is the sin there? And that sin is a word that it's a word that translates a voluntary transgression of God's law. That's what the word sin is. That messes with some people. They don't want to hear about that. They want to hear about some other stuff. But I want to tell you that that's important. There is a stone on the stone tablets. Here was written with the finger of God. Here is the inscription that was on there. These are not the top 10 suggestions. These are not the top 10 wonderful things that you can do to have a better life, to make you be liked by more people. These are the law of God. And he wrote it with a finger. And this is in part of the Ark of the Covenant. I am the Lord your God, and you shall have no other God before me. Amen. That's where you're supposed to say amen. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Oh, Lord, please help us there. Let me say that one more time, and I want to kind of go in and sink in. You shall not take the Lord your God's name in vain. Remember to keep the Lord's day. Remember the Sabbath day or the Lord's day and keep it holy. Here's one. Honor your father and your mother. Now, this is a command that comes with a promise that your days may be long on the earth. It might go well with you. Well, I've met some of the fathers, and if you don't honor them, it's best to honor them because your days might not be all that long on the earth. My dad was a different. He loved me. Honor your father and your mother. Then he says, you shall not kill. The word kill there means, I looked it up. You know what it means? Kill. You shall not take or stop or end the life of another human being. If that offends you, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. You need to be sorry. Repent. You shall not commit adultery. I should have read that in a little quieter and a little quicker. So no one would be offended by that. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Oh, help us please there. Don't lie against your neighbor. Now, who's your neighbor? It's not just the guy and the gal that lives next door to you in the apartment complex. It's not the person that lives in the loft next to you. It's the person that you encounter, the people that you know is your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Oh, guys. Help us, Lord, there, please. And you shall not covet your neighbor's goods. Jesus added to those commandments. He didn't come to do away with them. He didn't change God's mind when he got here. He added to that. And in the book of Matthew, he says, 22, he says, which is the greatest commandment? One of his people, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. My pastor in the old days, Pastor Lamar, he preached 1 and 2. And you can ask anybody who went to church there what 1 and 2 meant. And you would easily say, Lamar preached 1 and 2, the commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And each one of them was like a series of messages. And love your neighbor as yourself. And he would just wear that out. Who's your neighbor? It's the people that you know and the people that you don't know. Help us, Jesus. Please, Lord. Aaron's rod also was in the box. And here's how this happened. Aaron, who had used the same rod when the Egyptians were holding Israel in captivity, it was Aaron's rod that produced several of the plagues that happened to them. It was Aaron's rod that did that. The power of the Lord that went with it. In the rod of God that lives inside you, the rod is a word of authority. And there's an authority that's in every one of us, that those of you that are born again believers, there's a rod of God that lives in you, an authority. There's two words for authority in the New Testament. One is the word dunamis, and that's the one on the day of Pentecost when he says, and you shall receive, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come on you. That word there is the word for dunamis. It's like dynamite, explosive power. There's another word for the word power, exousia, and that is a word that says authority. He has given you and I, placed in every one of us, authority over the works of the evil one. I'm getting an amen. There's an authority that's given to every one of us. Now, let me just stop. I'm going to give you this word right here. This is a really good word. This will be good for you now and when Pastor Jim's speaking or Jamie's speaking or anybody else is speaking. You need to do this. It's only for your own self. Be selfish just for a minute. When you hear the word of the Lord and you know that word is true, you can say amen. Now, what the word amen actually means is it means, so be it done unto me as you will. Oh, yeah, now I got one. All right. I knew if I kept pumping, I was going to get one. I know this is strange, but it's okay. Let's see. Moses told, they brought, now the worship leaders was complaining because it's obvious that Moses liked Aaron, his brother, more than he liked them. And so he said, all of y'all, the worship leaders, all bring, the Levites, bring all your rods in here. And he said, and cast them on the ground. And he cast them on the ground. And Aaron cast his on the ground. He said, now tomorrow, the one who has blooms growing out of it is the one we're going to follow. Guess who's had blooms growing out of it? Y'all following me? Aaron. His rod had blooms and had almonds ready to eat on his growing out of his stick. Now that's weird, but God chooses unusual things to make his word happen. He is unusual the way God does. He's not our way. He doesn't live in our democratic society. He doesn't live in our little world. He is a God that he says it and it happens. He's a theocratic God. He chooses the way. And it's weird, but it's God. I tell you, I'm going to stop here just for a second. I have been to church services over in my life. I've been there, and I've been in churches where Holy Spirit was obviously has left the building. I've been to places where obviously Holy Spirit was still there. There's a difference. Sometimes it gets a little messy when Holy Spirit shows up. Example, day of Pentecost. They were all acted like they were drunk. It got messy. And all even the New Testament, New Testament churches, things got messy when Holy Spirit showed up. In churches where I've been, where I've gone to the church there, it would be messy when Holy Spirit showed up and you don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes, and I went to this one church, and I'm not going to name it. I went to the church, and they were more interested in making sure we stayed with the program. I went there all twice. I didn't go back no more. We got to stay with the program, Brother Ron. We had to stick to that. You know, that's kind of like, got to do that. I want to go to the church where Holy Spirit gets to do what he wants. We pray all the time. We say, come Holy Spirit. Do we really mean that? Yeah. I want God to come. The Holy Spirit, I want him to show up. Oh God, please come back to our house. I want him in my house. I've got those two buildings, or three buildings next to me in Tala. And somebody asked me, he said, are you afraid to, you've been those old buildings, if things happen in those buildings over the years, are you scared of them? I said, oh, no, I'm not scared. I go in, I plug in my CD player. Well, that's broke, I got to get a new one. I plug in my CD player, I put me a hot CD on about the worship of the Lord. And I tell you, the demonic spirits cannot handle very much of that. And if there's anything in there, any ghostly thing, oh, there might be a ghost in there, but he's a holy one. They don't like that. They move on. I watched one of those little paranormal programs the other night, and this lady was telling them how to fix their problem and get this thing come in and get this other thing come in, and they'll do that. I said, no, just play a CD. I said, I could save you a bunch of money. The Holy Spirit will come, and they will leave. They'll move on to wherever they need to be. There's a power that runs through the name of Jesus that lives inside of us. The Scripture says it so clearly. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit so strong right now. Holy Spirit says it so clearly. Greater is he who is in you. I failed. Greater is he who is in you. Thank you. I hope you believe that. You do. Amen. So what I'm telling you is this. I'm on page 4. You and I are the containers, similar to the Ark of the Covenant. You have the Word of God in you. Amen. You have the Word of God, undeniable, undisputable, irrevocable Word of God is inside you. You have Holy Spirit that lives inside you. If you don't have that yet, we can fix that. There are some of us who have had great anointings and had a great experience with God. And there's the Scripture talks about in the book of Acts, talks about a time of refreshing come. I pray, oh God, I need to be refreshed every day. Give me some more. I cry more, Lord. More for me, more for my house. Oh, yeah, give some more to the vineyard. Okay, I'm whining. My grandkids are here saying, no whine, monk. Jesus said, I will pray, when he was about to leave, not too long before he left, he said, I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter. Now, the word comforter there, I get so tired of when a funeral comes. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come, the comforter to come. There's a lot more to comforter then somebody died. Amen. There's a lot more to the Holy Spirit than somebody died, and he's going to come along and soothe our soul. The scripture talks about the comforter. Now, this comforter here is the word actually for the word lawyer. The Holy Spirit will come, and he is your lawyer. Check that out. Oh, he's checking it. He's looking it up. Let's see if my time's right. He's like an attorney. I have one. I try not to ever use him. We have the word, the golden cup that had the manna in it was a symbol of the Lord's provision. And the Lord provides for us every day. He provides the simplest things. It's like childish. I'm working on a project. When I'm on another project, I don't have to do much work. I'm just there. But when I'm on a project that I'm working on, oftentimes I will cut a piece of wood and the drop I will throw on the floor. And then I'll move over and do this over here, and I'll need one. And you can ask Chris Gator this if you think I'm lying. I need one that's 21 1/4 inches. I'll go over there, and I'll pick one up. It's already cut. It was a drop off of another board. I didn't do the math. It's just already there. That happens to me so regularly. It's like daily that happens. It's just simple little things. I'm driving into a parking lot, and I'm thinking, you know, it's like Christmas time, and the cars are at the Walmart and the Target is all the way out to the end of the curb to the edge of the parking lot. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'd love to have a nice parking place. I don't want a handicapped park. Some people who are handicapped need to park there. I don't want to park where the soldiers have to park. I don't want to park where the third grade teacher has to park. I don't want to park where all the little signs. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to park the 8th parking space, which would actually be the first one. But give me a good parking space. Just a thought. And to let you know, I'll pull right in. That guy's backing out, and I pull right in his place. It happens to me so regular. It don't happen every time. And sometimes I have to walk the distance. The Lord says, you need some exercise, and you need to walk. So I have to walk the distance. But otherwise, I get to park where I want to park. It's the simple things. The Lord provides for us even the smallest things. We had a spell a while back where people were losing things, and they would find it and would say, what about Lord? And then we had one time at a church we were at, not far from here, we played declarations on the wall during the offertory. And we stole those from another church. And maybe I shouldn't say stole. We adopted them from another church. And so we began to show the declarations on the wall. It started out in Bethel. They probably borrowed it from another church. But it started out there, and I saw it. I said, hey, this is good. I like that. And I put it. They didn't like it. Some of the people, the leadership didn't like it. But I felt it was the right thing. And people would say, declaration. There'd be one of them who said, and the check in the mail. You know, and people would come, I got a check in the mail. I wasn't expecting it. You know, and God would just, and I didn't know it was coming, but it was there. Because we made a declaration, because the Lord makes his provision for us. Sometimes he provides. A lot of times he provides. If you get another breath of air, he provided that. If you get to wake up in the morning and get coffee, he provided that. So the Lord's provision, that's inside us now. He's already given it to us. Okay. All right, one more comment, or two, three. Oftentimes, I want to say this, and I want to say it very carefully. Oftentimes, and the reason I know that is I am guilty. When Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, and a dove descended from heaven symbol of Holy Spirit, and rested on him. Sometimes we treat Holy Spirit like he's not a dove. If you had a pet dove, you would handle that dove carefully, not to mess up its feathers. I have a puppy. Some of you have seen my puppy on Facebook. She has one eye. She was abused. She was a rescue puppy. Well, she don't have to worry about that anymore. And she gets pretty much, we went on vacation. She went with us everywhere. And even the places where there's no pets allowed, I asked. They let us bring her in because she's just too cute. I treat her like a child. I actually treat her better than I treat my grandchildren. They don't know that. And they're probably not going to see the tape. So that's good. Oftentimes we treat Holy Spirit like he's not a dove. We mishandle that power. It's to be treated, taken in. Let him be inside us. Don't mistreat him. Don't say Holy Spirit said and he didn't say. God, help us on that one. He's a fragile, but he's powerful. To you, Holy Spirit may be a dove. Sometimes to me, he's like a roaring something inside me. There's a power and authority that comes in the name of Jesus, and I'm done with that. So what I want to tell you is this. We are very much like the container that held the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant. We're very much like the Ark of the Covenant. We have the tables. We have the Word of God in us. Some of us don't live like we have the Word of God in us. I'm going to say this. Bitter water and sweet water does not come out of the same faucet. Help us, sweet Jesus. If we have the presence of Holy Spirit and the power of God that lives inside us, I say let's be trying to take ourselves and carry ourselves as if Holy Spirit's living inside us. That we have the dove Holy Spirit living inside. We need to watch what we say. Boy, I didn't get but one amen out of that one. I'll say amen. We have to watch what we say. How we carry ourselves in business transactions. Begin to act like Holy Spirit is inside us. Okay, if you can't say amen, if you just kind of nod your head. Amen. That means amen. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share your word today. I ask you, Lord, your Holy Spirit come. Those that need a time of refreshing, Lord, that you would begin to refresh them. Those that need a change of heart, Lord, that you begin the process in that. Those that need to be sanctified in their life or in their language, in their heart, that you would begin to work on that. We know, Lord, that no man can come to the Father except the Spirit first draw. Holy Spirit, draw. Draw us into a deeper relationship with you. Holy Spirit, come and teach us. Your word says, Lord, that you would not, the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach us and he will guide us into all truth. And we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come and just teach us what's right. Help us, Lord, to walk upright before you and before men. Amen.